From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 13th day of August 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this Sapphire, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenura from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. It's going to be dry. However, it's also going to be very cool across the Midwest, and we'll get his take on what that means for the coming crop. And as we round out our time together today, we'll discuss the agricultural cash grain segment with Matt Bennett from agmarket.net. He's in Windsor, Illinois, and we'll do all of that right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Chicago corn up 10 and 3 quarters in the lead September, 325 and a quarter for its settlement price. December, 338 and 3 quarters up 11 and a half today. And July corn, 9 and a half cents higher for next year, 362 and a quarter. The soybeans finished the new crop November up 16 and a half cents at $8.99 and a half. January up 16 and 3 quarters, 904 and a half. July wheat futures for the day, soft red, 6 and a quarter higher at 523 and a quarter. And the live cattle futures were up 70 cents, feeders down 30 for the day. Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, now joins us to talk about the marketplace. We skipped last week. I think that's a good thing because now we have a whole bunch to talk about, Dan, as it relates to the technical side of this marketplace. I took a quick look. There's a weekly outside up in play for soybeans unless things really tank on Friday. And I guess as you look at it, the corn chart looks pretty decent, too. What can you tell me?
Well, we'll start off with the beans that you mentioned, outside up weekly. I mean, anytime you take out a previous week's low or a previous week's high, and then you close higher after you've taken out a previous week's low, that is usually a strong technical indicator that you're in an uptrend. And beans have been in an uptrend since last spring when we made our low. Now it hasn't been, you know, pedal to the metal, really going anyplace, but we have been in an uptrend and slowly recovering. And then we've had a correction and consolidation. And now with this week's weekly reversal to the upside, that tells you that you're laying the technical groundwork for another leg up in prices. So it does, it is encouraging that that's going to happen. Now in corn cases, I think the last time I talked a couple weeks ago, or it could be 3 weeks, I don't know. You took 1 week off there and then I took last week off, but I had a low coming in. All of these markets, kind of that late July, early August, give a few days. I think when I talked to you, we actually had a nice little reversal up that week, but then it came back and it kind of failed. And we did take out that late July low here during the first half here, or the first few days of August here. Now with today's advance, even with yesterday's advance, we had already moved ahead for the month. And now with today's advance on the table, we've got a nice solid monthly reversal up going in corn. Now, I know we got 15 days or 2 weeks yet to kill it, but you've heard me talk about this before, is you always watch a market if it's making new highs for the year or making new lows for the year early in the month, that those are kind of indications that you got to be careful, because those are kind of indicators that you might end up making monthly reversals before the month is out. And I think in this case, since we did make lower lows in corn, and since the monthly reversal is coming off of making, I think, a lead option low somewhere down around 308 or 307, God, you would think it would be good it's not a monthly reversal off of 505. You know, it's a monthly reversal off of 307, which is terribly cheap corn in today's environment. So I guess I'm kind of optimistic that we might be laying the groundwork for a counter-seasonal move. Now, you know, if we end up with a monthly reversal to the upside in August, you know, if we have decent follow-through during the month of September, that would be very encouraging, because September is one of those months that 9 out of 10 years you close lower during September for the month. Now, you may have strength early in the month, but by the time you get to the last 2 weeks of September, you're down at the bottom end of the range, because harvest, the combines are starting to roll and seasonal harvest pressure is beginning to build. And then corn goes in and soybeans also goes in and kind of puts in a first half October low sometimes. Beans usually sticks as a seasonal low, and then they start climbing out of a seasonal low. Corn often has a second run at the low, and that's usually during the December delivery period. You kind of go down and you check out that early October low before you can kind of get a seasonal low confirmed in corn. But with a monthly reversal up in August, and there's reasons that we got something going on here. I mean, the crop did not get bigger last week, and that is a big statement. Now, we still have a crop fairly good size, but it didn't get bigger. And that's the first thing to do, turning around the supply-demand balance sheet, or getting the supply-demand balance sheet headed in a more price positive direction. So the crop didn't get bigger in corn. Beans, we've got strong demand in beans. I think we're actually ahead of USDA's projection on export sales for beans. And then we've got flooding problems in China. I think that they got crop problems in China. It looks like China may end up being a much larger buyer of U.S. commodities than anybody thought 6 months ago or even a month ago. So there are some things that are beginning to happen that could justify a fall rally. And now it would be counter-seasonal, but it could happen. And I've been in the opinion, at least from a cyclical point of view, that this market had opportunities to go higher into late summer, early fall. I still looking at mid-September that maybe could extend it south, you know, further into the fall. We'll just have to kind of see what the fundamentals are as they unfold here, whether it's going to be demand. We got the dollar weakening. It looks like China's going to be a bigger buyer. It looks like the corn crop's not going to be as big as what everybody thought it was. So I think USDA's report's basically old news, you know.
Yeah, so those numbers were big on Tuesday when they came out. And as you said, technically, and when you build the technical cases, you can see it on the charts, but it's always about filling in what happens to the supply and demand. So China could be in the market more fully. Especially given some of the flooding and their need, potentially, although that could flip the other way, I would think, too, as they contract need in those areas because they just can't move food into those areas at this point. And then, of course, La Nina is in play for South America. These are all soybean things. Corn might be needed more in China than what has been the case, and they've had big buys so far this year. The weather has already played a big role in Iowa for sure. We'll see how much damage was really done, but if that comes to fruition and we see actual damage there that is quantifiable, that could play an interesting role as well. And then you mentioned that usage just as for soybeans is just really good. Domestic crush was up as well. So lots of things in play to watch, and you have to watch it all at the same time. And then farmers have to make decisions because they do need to make sales, right, at some point, I guess.
Well, right, especially this. Now, I don't know exactly how many September corn basis contracts are still out there yet to be priced or rolled. I don't know how much old crop inventory is still left to kind of move to town. The biggest concern I have is my guess, and this is just a wild guess, is very little, if any, of this new crop has been priced because there was really never any good rally potentials that got farmers' attention to squeeze the trigger on 10%, 25%, or 30%. So that is probably the more scariest thing as we're going into harvest, and farmers do need money by December 1st many times, and very little of this crop is priced into the market. I suppose that's probably the most negative thing as we look ahead. But, you know, a lot of these positive things could come in and offset that and absorb that real easy, depending upon how everything plays out. But generally speaking, I guess I still want to have a generally positive attitude toward pricing opportunities still in front of us. They may not be as great as what we would like to have, but they would be at least pricing opportunities. And then you have to determine, you know, what your per acre gross is and how you can make things work, because it's, a lot of it is about yield, you know, on your individual farm and what and multiplied by price. But there are some pricing opportunities, I think, that's still ahead of us. If they do come to fruition, they're going to be selling opportunities. I don't think I would. Now, you could sell for January delivery or next spring delivery, but I don't think I would necessarily, if we got a good fall rally in here, I would necessarily hang on for higher prices going into January. As a rule, years after a presidential election, regardless of who wins, usually is not very good. And I would just kind of leave you with that. That's kind of a historical seasonal thing. If you go back over the years and you look at price action after a presidential election, and it doesn't matter who wins or who loses, it's just are not necessarily good years for pricing opportunities. So I would definitely take advantage of any kind of fall rally if it's meaningful. I guess I kind of leave it at that, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much. We look forward to talking with you again next week.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. On this Thursday, let's check the weather forecast with Mike Tenuri. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, I was looking at the forecast online today. A lot of sunshine, but the temperatures I made note, the highs, and the lows too, were pretty cool. What can you tell me about conditions across the Corn Belt?
Well, temperatures will cool off a lot late in the weekend and early next week. We'll see highs only in the 70s with lows in the 50s for a few days. And that's pretty ideal for filling corn and soybeans. The only catch is that before we get there, and then once we move beyond next week, it does warm up. So things won't be quite as ideal as they will be from Sunday through Tuesday coming up, but they will be generally okay. There's no sustained heat waves on the horizon, but there's also not a sustained cool wave. Temperatures next week are only expected to be ideal for, again, about 3 or 4 days.
And after that, what do you see for the following couple of weeks?
Well, temperatures will be more similar to the way they are today, which is with highs in the 80s and lows in the 60s and 70s. So it won't be ideal, but it won't be totally problematic either. But again, temperatures is actually just a little bit above the average for the second half of August.
For an August, it looks like it's awfully good Corn Belt weather in that case.
Well, the only thing I would say to the contrary side is that we need more rain. If we add 1 inch of rain to the Corn Belt through the end of the month, we would end up being one of the driest on record And that might be a little bit hard to believe given that we just saw some rain earlier in the week. We saw some rain a couple of weeks ago too. But it's not going to take very much for us to end up being one of the drier months on record if the forecast holds up. Our main concern is that we won't see a lot of thunderstorms over the next 3 to 4 days with the temperature variations. And then we have a dry air mass in place for much of next week. We do turn warmer later next week and into the following week, but the problem there is that humidities will probably be fairly low, and we should have upper level high pressure off to the west, which will more or less block storm systems from passing through the Corn Belt. So if all that happens, it wouldn't take a whole lot for August to end up being among the 30 driest of the last 125 years in the Corn Belt. Now, again, it's only August 13th, so we do have a little bit of a ways to go, but just based on what we're seeing right now, rain chances beyond the next 5 days don't look all that great. And they don't even look all that great over the next 5 days. So this is something to keep an eye on.
And this all comes despite what has been a very active hurricane season, and which is expected to continue to be that way, correct?
Well, Todd, I'll be honest with you. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the hurricane stuff for corn and soybean forecasting, but I have heard that, yes, we have had a number of named storms. But the only thing I would say is that you need to keep in mind that if we go back 100 years, there might be a storm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean that nobody would ever know about because we don't have any satellites and we didn't have any ships out there. If it happened today, we would certainly know about it simply because of the satellites, even if it didn't affect a single person. So the hurricane numbers are always moving upward with time, and it's partially a reflection of that.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Let's chat next week.
Oh, we will. That's Mike Tenuri. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Look us up in your favorite podcast application, too. Places like Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast as well. In fact, I use Google Podcast at home with my Google Home and just ask it to play the Closing Market Report. It works. You can try it if you'd like. You subscribe to Google Podcast and then use it with your Google Home. However you listen to us, thank you so much for spending your time with us here at Illinois Public Media. On this Thursday, let's talk a little bit about the cash situation. Matt Bennett is with us. He's with agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. I was looking at a few things online as it relates to conditions, not of the crop, but just of rainfall and such. And boy, it sure looks like you there in Shelby County are kind of in an ideal spot, maybe a garden spot across the Corn Belt. Do crops look as good as I think they should in your area?
They definitely look good. You know, we feel very good about things. Of course, we didn't get any of that wind the other night. We had mostly just some rainfall, anywhere from 3/10, excuse me, up to 1.3 inches. And so we feel pretty good about the way, you know, that the corn's going to finish. And I would say a lot of our beans have probably got about enough rain to finish as well, because, you know, you're looking at, we planted all of our beans in the month of April. So they're going to be turning here probably in the next, you know, starting to turn here in the next couple of weeks. So they could always use one more rain, but we're in really good shape here.
What are you hearing about the condition of the crop a few days later after that big wind made its way, especially across a large swath of west central to central Iowa?
Yeah, it just kind of depends on who you talk to, but I'm hearing a lot of folks saying anywhere from 150 million bushels, you know, up to twice that, maybe even a little more. And so as far as corn that could be lost, you know, obviously, say 10 million acres were affected. It's to what degree were they affected is the biggest question. And I think that the obvious answer in a lot of places is the corn was just broke off, and that's a terrible situation. A lot of it's laid over and probably not going to all come back up. And there's a lot of implications there, whether it's damaged grain or, you know, just the quality issue is certainly going to be a problem. So it's a problem that's not going to go away for quite some time. And typically you don't see a storm have an impact on national yield, but I think it's going to this time.
And do you suppose that next week when the pro farmer crop scouts are out and about, they'll be able to get a good assessment of what really happened?
I think they will. If you look at the route that they take, they're going to be going right through the heart of quite a bit of that, whether it's in they might not get into all of it in northern Illinois, but you know, they're definitely going to go through the heart of it in Iowa, and I think that they'll get a really good assessment there. And I'm very interested to see where they come in at, because I've got to think that that 181.8 from the USDA is going to be a little rich when it's all said and done. A lot of that's due to the fact that you're going to have such a drawdown, you know, for instance, in the state of Iowa. So be very interesting. Big crops usually get bigger. I just don't know what's going to happen this year.
Well, we'll be watching closely, and each and every day next week, starting Monday, we'll have updates from both the Eastern and the Western Lake here on the Closing Market Report. Now, to the markets at hand, do they offer an opportunity at this point, in your opinion, for producers to do anything with old or new crop corn and with new crop soybeans?
You know, anytime you see this kind of a rally on a bearish report, what we would term as a bearish report, it's a selling opportunity. And so absolutely, especially on soybeans, you know, I would be stepping in and selling a fair amount of beans, especially if I feel really good about production. I know down here we really do. And so, you know, when you take that APH of, you know, an average APH in Central Illinois 65, and you plug in 75 bushel beans, which a lot of producers are going to be using in this part of the world, that actually takes your break-even price down $1 a bushel. And so, you know, we just took off and ran about 30 cents higher on the bean market, which puts us back into the areas that where we were at, you know, before the market fell these last couple, 3 weeks. And so, you know, can you make money at $9 basis the board on 75 bushel beans? Man, I'd sure hope so. And so if that's the case, you know, I got to take some risk off the table. It's a little more complicated for corn. I'm not so sure that I can step in and sell a significant amount of bushels unless I'm figuring out a way, you know, to not get too many eggs in one basket. I don't want to get leveraged on either side of the equation too hard, especially if I'm in an area that might have a chance of collecting some insurance, because, you know, there's no doubt that if you would sell too much right now and then the market would rip higher, that's the last thing you'd want to see happen.
Yeah, everybody will be thinking, will there be more follow through after today? This is what, day two, day three, right? Are we about done with the rally or not?
My gut feeling would be, considering everything we know, that it'd be tough to have a lot more fuel for this fire. But at the same time, you know, nothing would surprise me. And so whenever the funds are covering shorts, you know, with this corn market, anything can certainly happen. I think a lot is going to be determined upon, you know, what's our export situation look like? Are we going to continue to see these sales every morning? Because we had corn and bean sales this morning. It's just really nice to see those. And so even though export sales weren't, the export report wasn't exactly overwhelmingly great on corn, at least we had, you know, that surprise sale announcement this morning. So it's been nice to see the kind of demand. If we can keep that going, maybe we'll get a resumption of this rally or keep it going. But I guess I wouldn't bet money on it right now.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. Joined us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.